You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. Our current serial is Let Sleeping Princes Lie, the third novella in the Castle Charming series. Part 12, The Hall of Lost Princes. "You're Queen Ella," Kai breathed. El looked annoyed at how slow he was being. "Clearly, yes. The Sleeping Queen." She indicated her very much unsleeping self, battered but unbroken, angry in her makeshift armour and warrior braid, tired. Kai had seen her in her enchanted slumber, laid out like a porcelain doll in a glass bed. Of course, he had not recognised her here. The Sleeping Queen was a perfect, magical, frozen image of a fairy tale. She didn't scowl or roll her eyes or stab giant snakes with a sword. "We're all asleep," said Zed, in a duh sort of voice. "That's the point. Spinning wheels and cursed thorn bushes, right? We're not really here. So this is some kind of horrible nightmare castle, full of monsters, that's actually a literal nightmare," said Kai, trying to wrap his head around it. "Beautifully summed up," said Queen Ella. "You must be quite the writer." "So you've had a lot of princes through here," Kai said. "Like Zed." "Princesses, mostly," said Queen Ella. "El. One elderly king, cursed by his three daughters, who really didn't last long. Mostly princes in recent months. The spinning wheels have been getting hungry." "But why?" "Fairy tales were made up of patterns, and those stories often reflected real-life events and history. Kai knew that. He also knew that some kingdoms, like Charming, dammit, were more susceptible to fairy tale events. Stories infused into reality, instead of the other way around. But stories didn't make sense when applied to the real world. Newspapers did their best to predict modern patterns, to tell real stories that reflected what was happening in the world. There was a rhythm to newspapers, which often made Kai feel like he was writing the same piece that appeared in the newspaper a year earlier, or 10 years, or 50. It's just another kind of fairy tale. There were always bake sales and shop openings, lords and ladies announcing their betrothals, runaway donkey, man bites dog, tragic house fire, dragon sighting, heroic stranger, poor boy loses inheritance and marries a princess, princess gifted magical gown by fairy, giant pumpkins, transforming mice. "Fairies or witches," he blurted out, remembering something he'd heard Dennis say once, or his Sarge, or Corporal Jack, probably. It sounded like Jack. "It's always fairies or witches, right?" Queen Ella twisted up her mouth and shook her head at him. "You're looking in the wrong place for your story," she chided. "Asking the wrong question. Typical." Kai stood his ground. "So what's the right question?" She hefted her sword, then set it aside to search through their heap of other reclaimed weapons. "I heard slithering in the bathing chambers 2 floors down. I think they broke through the sigil on the door." "More snakes?" asked Zed, who'd been watching them both like they were fascinating. "Crocodiles, maybe," said Queen Ella. "Button your boots up high. Things may get wet." It was crocodiles. The bathroom, bathing chamber, was enormous, far too big for this to actually exist inside a tower. It was more like the public baths in the centre of town of Charming than anything Kai had ever seen in his visits to the castle. One room led to another and another. Only instead of tiles and saucy murals, instead of concrete and sensible bamboo matting lining the paths, around the hot and cold pools, every inch of this place was decorated with mirrors. This was uncomfortably revealing about the mentality of the person who'd made the decor choices, or the person who hired the decorator. That raised an odd thought about who designed this whole nightmare castle in the first place, or did it spring up fully formed from the dreams of kings and queens? Revealing. That was the word. In all the reflections and half-reflections of this enormous, crocodile-infested swamp of a bathroom, Kai saw himself, wrecked and ragged, tense as hell. He hated holding a sword, hated having to be constantly aware of the snapping danger at his feet. Queen Ella strode past the tiled pools, like she was used to having 1,000 eyes on her. She carried an ancient spear in one hand, and some kind of ceremonial axe in another. When the waters frothed and a tail or snapping jaws surfaced near her, she stabbed and flicked, marching onwards as blood spooled in a slow orbit around her latest corpse. Kai wondered if you could read patterns of crocodile blood in the water, like you could read your future in tea leaves, and then he wondered if he was actually hysterical. Had this place broken him? Zed was enjoying himself far too much, frenzied with energy and twitchy as hell. "There was this kid already here when I turned up, he said to Kai, as they headed through the steamy caldarium. "Prince Nathaniel of Herondale, sweet as hell, very loyal to his hometown girlfriend. He was always trying to figure out where we were, why this place was the way it was, whose nightmare we were living in, and so on." Zed paused in telling his story to explain the difference between steam bubbles in the pool and the ones that meant there was a crocodile lurking beneath. Kai tried to listen, but honestly the bubbles looked exactly the same to him. "He asked all the big questions," Zed went on. "Nathaniel, like you do. Why is it always royals? Why do the stories latch on to us? What is it about crowns and castles that lures in a fairy tale like a hungry crocodile?" "Did he find any answers?" Kai asked. "Oh, nah," said Zed. "He died. We always die." There was a rush of water to his left, and a thing rose up out of the steaming water, twice the size of the crocodiles Queen Ella had been spearing. It had a huge snapping jaw and a long silver horn jutting out of its forehead like a frickin' unicorn. Zed rallied, shoving the thing back and swinging his sword around, but he miscalculated the timing, and the monster shoved him back into the water. Kai leaped on the thing, his own heavy sword chopping down, and purple gunk sprayed out of its thick hide. Bedraggled and bright-eyed, Zed came up out of the water, sword plunging deep into the side of the monster. Together, he and Kai hacked at the thing, shoving it back and back until it sank once more into the deepest part of the pool, leaving only bubbles behind. "There are no fairy tales about a creature like that," Zed gasped, spitting out purple. "What even was that?" Kai caught a glimpse of them reflected against the walls. They looked like warriors. Wet, messy warriors. "Did it get you?" he asked urgently. "That horn looked sharp." "I'm fine." "The horn was red with blood," Kai argued, and tugged at Zed's shirt, where it stuck out between the two makeshift layers of armour. The shirt was sticky, not just wet. "If you wanted to get my shirt off, you only had to ask," Zed teased. But the words slurred into a yelp. "Hands off! I'm fine! We heal fast here." "You're sure?" Zed grinned stupidly at him. "Of course I'm sure." Queen Ella strode back into the room, her spear dented and her own hair falling in wet tendrils. "You all right in here?" "El!" Zed crowed. "Seriously, we just saw a mutant narwhal crocodile. You and I, when we get out of here, we have to publish a bestiary. It would be a bestseller." "We're going to have to seal this up again," Ella said, frowning at the purple sticky mass floating on top of the water where the monster had disappeared. Once again, she went ahead, and it was left to Zed and Kai to trail behind her. Zed made faces into the mirrors as they moved through the bathing chamber. "Too bad we can't chance a proper dip," he said. "But the creatures have fouled the water, I reckon. It did not smell like tincture of roses in there." "What happens to the captives here who get killed?" Kai asked him in an undertone. "Do you think they just wake up back in the world? Like when you die in a dream?" Zed gave him a disbelieving look. If El thought that was even slightly likely to be true, she'd have thrown herself to the monsters years ago. "Isn't that what she's doing?" Kai said darkly. Zed rolled his eyes at him. You're too young and pretty to be so cynical. I'm pretty sure Elle would want to know about that wound of yours. Shut up, Zed hissed. I told you. Everything's fine. I'm fine. Don't fuss. His smile was bright and convincing, but Kai saw something else in the fractured reflections. Every version of Zed, except the real one putting on the brave face, looked haunted and scared. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates, follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly, find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books, and if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Don't forget to pick up a copy of Girl Reporter, my new book. See you next week!